Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on another beautiful fall day. It's great to have you here today. I have two announcements. The first is there's going to be a meeting following the worship service today, where a session will be provide updates on our efforts to start the next chapter in the Glenshaw Valley story. So please stay after service today to participate in that. Second is a reminder of the Eagle Court of Honor for Sean and Elmwood Perman, which is listed in your bulletin. Any other announcements? If not, we will begin with Tom.
I said this before. Autumn is another spring, and every leaf a flower. The flowers are everywhere. They're falling on my yard and probably yours as well. They're still beautiful. What a beautiful time of the year. And welcome again to this place, to this time, to this beautiful morning, where we will praise God and worship together, that our hearts might be uplifted, and our lives strengthened once again. Please join me as we call one another to worship. Gentle and patient, careful and persistent,
God, you are calling.
In grieving and in praise, through dawn and midday,
God, you are calling.
In a still, small voice, in power, spontaneous and prepared,
God, you are calling.
Our God is eager to share with us, wherever we are in our journey. May we be diligent to listen. May we be filled with praise on this Lord's Day.
God, you are calling.
Let's rise, if able, and join together in singing our opening hymn, number 4110. Standing and joined together, confessing our sins in one voice. Merciful God, you call us to be salt of the earth and light of the world. We confess that our witness is often bland and gloomy, dull and lifeless. Forgive us when we fail to be a witness of your life and light. Forgive us when we condone what is wrong and turn away from your truth. Help us to flavor the earth with righteousness and peace, and empower us to reflect the light of your love in a dark world. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. And now a moment of silence where we can bring our personal confession. Dear friends, this is good news. Because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are bold to make our confession. And we are bold to know that confession made, forgiveness is given. Thanks be to God. Repeat that together. Thanks be to God. Amen. Together we confess what the church believes. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born under the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Greet one another with a smile, a wave, a welcome. The choir is going to sing for us. Come to the feast of heaven and earth. Come to the table of plenty. God will provide for all that we need here at the table of plenty.
Thank you.
What great words they are, just sung. Come to the feast of heaven and earth. Come to the table of plenty. God will provide for all that we need here at the table of plenty. We join together now to give thanks, to seek God's blessings, to recognize and know that God provides for our deepest needs and for the needs of the world. A couple printed concerns for us to keep in our hearts as we pray and in the days to come. Continued prayers for Jenny. She has her final evaluation this coming Monday. Hopefully she should be discharged on Tuesday or Wednesday at the latest. And then she is moving to Cumberland Crossing Assisted Living. Complete address and room number coming next week. So sounds like there is good progress, and we hope for more to come. And then from Cliff Huff this morning, a request for prayer for a friend of his, friend and co-worker by the name of Stephen Hardesty. And this is one of the most difficult prayer concerns we could possibly imagine. Last week, a tragedy occurred when a son of his cousin, Mark Humiston, shot and killed 5 of the 7 members of his cousin's family in Fall City near Seattle. The victims were Mark 43, Sarah 42, Benjamin 13, Joshua 9, and Catherine 7. An 11-year-old sister survived. The son who did the shooting was 15 years old, and he also survives. Prayers for the Humiston family, relatives like Stephen, for Cliff, and all who knew this family and are affected directly or indirectly from this tragedy. Let's take a moment and join our hearts in silence, lifting up these special prayer requests and other needs upon our hearts. Oh God, we gather our lives together to be your people and to become the blessing and the light that you call us to be. May your light shine in us. We pray that there may be more love on earth. The world needs love. So we ask you to help those who need to be more loving. Bless them with a different heart. We pray for those who need justice. And we pray for governments and public officials as they make room in their agenda, their priorities and budgets. For those who are deprived and those who are in distress may find blessing and new beginnings. God, let your light shine in us. We pray that there may be more peace upon this earth, that the nations at war would put an end to words of hatred and threats and acts of revenge and violence. Oh God, give us peace in our day, in our world. Let your light shine in us. We pray for those who are unwell. We pray for those who are facing difficult medical tests or results. For those who struggle with dis-ease and affliction of any kind. We pray especially for Jenny and her recovery and her new beginnings and a new place to live. And we pray your blessing upon this family before us today in prayer in Falls City, Washington. So much brokenness and pain. Only you can heal such pain and suffering. So in your grace and goodness and the miracle of your love, make a way to those who've lost so much and suffer so greatly. God, we pray that there might be more faith on earth, that we, your sons and daughters, would live as children of the light before you. Lord, let your light shine in us. Hear our prayers, receive our hearts, our deepest yearnings and petitions. For those near and for those far away, we give you our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord of life and Lord of our hearts. And we remember to say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If able, we rise, but we join hearts and voices as one as we sing our blessing hymn on the screen before us.
Oh,
song. Please be seated and let us worship God as we bring gifts, our love and devotion today together. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Audrey and I are going to read together from Genesis 22, story of Abraham and Isaac at the testing. Famous story. Maybe you know it. Genesis is our place of worship and preaching for this fall until Advent. So we've gone through some of the themes of the first 11 chapters. This is the beginning, the story of creation and the setting the stage for what is to come. And then with Abraham, we have the beginning of faith. This is the climax, in a sense, of the Abraham story. There are two other people that will be major characters to come. Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph. There are a lot of names in the Genesis, but these are really the three that we need to know. They're the ones who carry the freight. Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph. And so today we finish. This is sort of the climax of the Abraham part of the story of Genesis.
So we're reading Genesis 22, 1 through 14. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham."
"Here I am," he replied.
Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you."
Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son, Isaac. When he had cut
enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you."
Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father?"
"Yes, my son," Abraham replied.
"The fire and wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?"
Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood.
Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham."
"Here I am," he replied.
"Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son."
Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided."
The New Testament reading today is from Hebrews 11, 13 through 19. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. So, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, may the words spoken here this day call us to great faith. and to place our lives again into your care and keeping on this day and for every day, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, your favorite Bible story is, and if we had time, I would say, what is yours? What is yours? What is yours? What is yours? We could just tell our favorite Bible scenes or our favorite Bible stories. I would imagine that somebody, one of you or more, would say, oh, my favorite Bible story is the one about the Good Samaritan. It's a story about compassion. It's a story about giving one's life for another. What a great story. Yes. And someone else might say, well, you know, I like the prodigal son who went into the far country. I was a prodigal myself, and I was lost, and Christ found me and brought me home, and I just love to hear my story, the story of the son who wandered into the far country, but who was welcomed back and forgiven by his father. If we had younger people around here, I would imagine that one or two of them might say, oh, David and Goliath, you know. There's that big Goliath, he was 7 foot tall, and David, just a little shepherd boy, and he found some stones in the creek bed, and he only needed one, because he was an expert with a slingshot. He knew how to get the lion and the wolf with a slingshot as he protected the sheep, and he put that rock right in the middle of Goliath's head, and that was the end of the fighting. What's your favorite Bible story or scene? Now, mine is in the book of Acts. In Philippi, Paul and Silas are preaching and they get in trouble and they get arrested. And the authorities, the text says, severely beat them with rods, baseball bats, in other words. They beat them with baseball bats and they threw them both into the middle of the prison, and they were bleeding and they were wounded. And if you had been one of them, you would have been cursing God. But not Silas or Paul. At the midnight hour, it says, the text says, that they were praying and singing praises to God while all of the other prisoners were hushed and quiet. They sang like the Statler brothers. One sang tenor and one sang bass. And as they sang and they prayed, the prisoners must have been so amazed. What kind of faith is this? Who are these people? What have they got? That's my favorite Bible story. But I would imagine that not one of you here, or maybe anywhere else that we can imagine, would say, oh, my favorite Bible story is in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. I just love that story about Abraham being told to kill his son. That's nobody's favorite Bible story, is it? Walter Brueggemann, remember him? Brueggemann. Walter Brueggemann, the teacher, the authority on the Old Testament, who's written 58 books about the Bible. He knows everything there is to know about the Old Testament. Walter Brueggemann says of this story, Isaac, the binding of Isaac, he says that it's notoriously difficult to understand. Well, if he can't understand it, how are you supposed to understand it? How am I supposed to understand it? What is this story anyway? Hasn't God already seen that this Abraham and Sarah are faithful. Oh, they're not perfect. We remember from last week that Abraham gave his wife into the harem of Pharaoh because he didn't want to be killed. He gave her away. He was afraid for his own life. He was looking after his own skin. He wasn't perfect, and we are not either. But God has already seen that they're faithful people. He knows that. He says to Abraham and Sarah, go from your family. Leave everything that you know. Well, you know, in those days, family was everything. You couldn't survive without the extended family. That was your means to be able to live. Without an extended family, you were lost. And God says to Abraham and Sarah, leave all of your security. Everything that holds you, protects you, nurtures you, makes you a person. Leave that. And go to a place that I'm going to show you. And Abraham and Sarah, didn't they already prove? They went. Doesn't God already know that they're faithful people? You see, this story is full of questions and full of wonder. And why would God do this? What is God up to? Maybe it was God who was being tested as well as Abraham. The story is difficult to know how Abraham felt. It doesn't tell us. It must have been a sense of horror. Kill my own son. Sacrifice him as a burnt offering. This is the promise that God gave me. That if I was faithful, if I went, and if I was obedient, God would bless me, and from my children, would be a nation, as many as the stars in the sky. And this nation that would come forth from Sarah and me, this new race of people, would be a blessing for the whole world, for the whole earth. The entire history of the human race is going to be blessed because of what has come through us, child. Sarah must have filled the tent with tears. We don't know. We don't know what their response was. But we do know that the details are pretty clear. It's a straightforward story. Abraham, couple servants, donkey. They get ready for a trip. God has said to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice this gift. By the way, the son's name is Isaac, this gift. Isaac means laughter. When God promised Sarah she was going to have a child in her old age, Sarah laughed. I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to have a baby. How can that possibly be? But as we know, the text says, is anything too wonderful for God? And old Sarah has a baby. And when the baby is born, because she laughed, they named him Laughing Boy. They named him Isaac, which means laughter. And so now Abraham has been told, take your gift and go and sacrifice your gift on the altar. They head out. Nothing much is said. They travel for 3 days. Finally, Abraham sees the place, Moriah Mount. He tells his two servants, you stay here. I'll take the boy. And we will worship God on the mountain, and then we will return. We? Where's the we? What did Abraham know? Did Abraham already know, before he even got to the mountain, that God somehow will provide? Do you know this? Do you know that you are in God's care? That you live in God's arms? That nothing can ever happen to you that isn't shared God's presence and love in your life? That you are never alone? That you are never bereft? That you are never abandoned? That you are never uncared for? And that everything that you need will be provided? What an audacious thing to say. So Abraham and Laughing Boy begin to walk together. And Laughing Boy says, "We have the wood, we have the fire. Where is the lamb?" And Abraham's answer becomes the answer of faith, the faith of Israel and the church and every living, breathing person of faith. This is the blessing. We are supposed to be the people of the blessing, right? We're part of Abraham's offspring, the people that God has chosen to be a blessing. The people of blessing, what we have to give to the world, among other things. But this is essential. This is fundamental. What we have to give to the world and to give to each other and to encourage each other to know and to believe in any moment of life, every moment of life, is Abraham's answer. He says to his son, God himself will provide. And that's our faith. That's the foundation. That's the blessing that we have. That's the blessing that we share. The mystery of this, of course, and why this is such a difficult text, why this is such a difficult story, is that it goes against evidence. The evidence will say that we don't have a future. The evidence might say that you're lost. The evidence might say that you're undone. The evidence might say that you're defeated. Faith always is in conflict, contact, opposition to the evidence. God himself will provide. Isaac Watts took the 23rd Psalm. You know that psalm probably. Isn't that a psalm of provision? Provision. Providing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isaac Watts took that beautiful psalm and gave back to us a wonderful hymn. It goes something like this. My shepherd will provide my need. Jehovah is his name. In pastures fresh, he makes me feed beside the living stream. That's how it begins. And then the end of it, it says, the sure provisions of my God attend me all my days. The providing God, all I have needed, Thanksgiving hymn would say, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. This is a story about the faithfulness of God. We've already seen that Abraham is faithful. And now in this story, it's God who is faithful. And we are bold to declare our blessings, to share our blessings, to encourage one another in blessing, to be the people of blessing, that God will provide Himself all that we need, all the time, everywhere. We're a living miracle of faith. Amen. Our closing hymn is on the screen and maybe in your mind and memory as we stand to sing together. Don't forget that your presence is desired after the blessing and commission and postlude. If you're able to stay for a discussion, please do so. Audrey and I are going to make our way out, but please stay if you can as you join hearts and minds together in prayers as this church envisions where God is calling it to be. So bless one another. Go on your way rejoicing, surrounded as you are by such a great cloud of witnesses. Take courage as you face each new challenge, and comfort when you pick yourself from a fall. And whatever good you choose to do, precede it with hope, accompany it with prayer, and follow it with thanksgiving. The blessing of God is wonderful, whom the saints have trusted as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, will be with us now and evermore. Amen.